obstacles that people come with, all the obstacles on the grid, the one that I think people find the hardest to see the thought part of it is money. Because money seems so real. You know, and people will often say, well, no. I can see how fear and motivation, you can't put those in a wheelbarrow. I can see time, you can't put that in a wheelbarrow. I can see energy, you can't put that in a wheelbarrow. Information, skill, belief, all of that I can understand. How that is part of this thought-created world that kind of gets in the way of this deeper intelligence. But money is real. I can put money in a wheelbarrow. Well, the thing is, you can't. You can put cash in a wheelbarrow. You can put gold in a wheelbarrow. But you can't put money in a wheelbarrow. And if you think about the history of money, it gets easier to see. So money was developed as a means to facilitate the exchange of goods and services. So in the old days, in the barter economy, I had a chicken, you had a cow. So I would trade you eggs for milk. Great, everybody's happy. But now we need to get out beyond our neighborhood. We need to get out beyond our village. There are things they have in the neighboring village that we don't have in ours. And so sure, for a while we can go to the market, right? They created the market where everybody could come and do their trades. But at a certain point, it just got inefficient to carry your chickens with you everywhere and carry your cow with you everywhere. So they developed means of exchange, and there have been fascinating means of exchange. Bits of metal was a very early favorite, but salt was currency for a very long time in Eastern Europe. And the word salary actually comes from the word for salt, because they used to pay workers in salt, because that was considered legal tender. That was currency. Then precious metals became currency. Then people began to trade documents, notes, like pound notes and dollar notes, that signified pay to the bearer of this note $100, $1,000, whatever the note was. So it was all backed by gold. Then at a certain point, they went, you know, we don't need the gold. Let's just say that this represents this, and we as a government are just going to say we're good for it. And there's not even necessarily anything behind it. So literally, we are trading pieces of paper that have value purely by agreement, purely by confidence. So if we're confident that this will still have value tomorrow, we're willing to trade our good or service for it. And if we lack confidence in this piece of paper, then we don't want the piece of paper, we want something more tangible. The piece of paper you can put in a wheelbarrow, but money is a creation of the mind. So let's take this a step further. I've got some cash here. I got some lovely money, right? Now this is cash, right? You can put this in a wheelbarrow, but you can't put what it represents in a wheelbarrow. So I want you to look at this, and if you've got in your pocket a bill, you know, or you could do it with a coin, but it's easier with a piece of paper money. Just wave it about and just notice it's paper, right? It's just paper. It flaps about, it moves about, right? And then take it and start to think about what you could buy with it. Right? Start to think about the food you could buy, or the clothes that you could buy, or the toys that you could buy, or the trip you could go on, or the place that you could go, or the date that you could take somebody on if you had this, right? Now look at it and notice if it feels different, because chances are it does. Chances are it feels like a little bit more than it did, but go back to paper. It's just paper, right? It's just pieces of paper with printing on them and dead presidents in this case and big white houses. Okay, but now think about what having this could prevent. Think about the next time that something goes wrong, that if you had this, you could get it fixed. Think about the next time that you're really hungry, that if you didn't have this, you might not be able to eat. Think about the next time that something really important is going on, and if you don't have this, you're not going to be able to take part. And notice that it probably feels very different to you now. You're probably a little bit more careful with it. You're probably wanting to just kind of make sure that, you know, nobody sees quite how much of it there is. But then go back, because it's just paper. It's just paper. It's just pieces of paper that we have confidence in what they mean. We're willing to agree with other people that I'll use this to buy your eggs, and you can use this to buy my milk, and we don't need to actually bring our chicken or cow to market. And this is why people have so little fresh thinking around money. This is why money becomes such an obstacle to people. Is they're so in the imaginary version of money, in the created version of money, in the what money means and what it can do, that there's no space left for the natural intelligence to come up and give them great ideas for how to work on their project without the money, how to access money for the project, or how to have more than enough money so whenever you want to take something on and work towards success, you've got what you need. Now, here's, as best I've seen, exactly how it happens. At a certain point, money goes in our minds from a means to facilitate the exchange of goods and services to a feeling creator. So having this money starts to mean it creates the feeling of security. Having this money starts to prevent the fear of not having enough. Or having this money starts to give me a feeling of power. Starting to have this money gives me a feeling of freedom. Having this money gives me a feeling of possibility. But our feelings are created by our thoughts. It's just how it works. Which is why sometimes you can look at money and it looks just like paper, and other times it looks like the most precious substance in the world. So here's your assignment for today. And I think you're going to like this one. I think you're going to find it really valuable. And it's an assignment about unleashing your creative intelligence in the area of money. Now, you can do this with a friend. In fact, I quite recommend doing it with a friend. But you can also do it with a tape recorder, or I sometimes do it with my dog when we're out for a walk. And what you're going to do is you're going to talk to your friend or your tape recorder or your dog or whoever you want to talk to for 10 minutes and literally set a timer. And for 10 minutes, you're going to share with them everything that occurs to you about how you could access more money, make more money, have more money in your world. Now, here's what you're not going to talk about. You're not going to talk about how hard it is. You're not going to talk about your history. You're not going to talk about why you can't do it. You're not going to talk about what you've tried in the past. You're not going to talk about how guilty you feel that you're even talking about money. You're not going to talk about how spiritual you are that you don't need to do exercises about money. For 10 minutes, you're just going to talk about whatever occurs to you about how you could create access and have more of it in your life. Now, if you run out of things to say before the 10 minutes are up, don't stop. Just keep your mind aimed in this direction. And if you do this before the 10 minutes are up, you'll have seen one or two or maybe a whole bunch of new things about money and possibility, simply because all the thinking that we all carry with us that we don't even notice around money will have quieted down enough that your natural intelligence, this in-the-moment, responsive, adaptive wisdom, is going to bring new things to mind.